Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. We got Dev, Q, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Rock Commander.
Give it to you. How you want it? In the 1 to 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like some rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
What's up? It's Thursday, April 26, 2012, and we'd like to welcome you to our NFL Draft Roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me are my partners in crime, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Paul Johnson, and the hardest working man in sports, Brandon Pemberton of Brandon on Sports, and host of Sports Trap Radio. Tonight, we'll catch you up on some hot topics from the week in the first hour, but after that, all about the NFL draft, which starts tonight at 8 p.m. sharp. Along with our draft expert, Brandon, we'll give you live analysis of the draft up until 9 p.m. That should cover about the first 10, 11 picks or so. As usual, we want to hear your opinions tonight, so jump into the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call in and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. We always got to spread the love, so we'd be remiss if we didn't shout out some of our favorite shows on the net. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio, and follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. Also, check out tonight's co-host Brandon and his partner Chris on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. Follow Brandon on Twitter at Brandon on Sports and at Sports Trap Radio to rap with him live during tonight's show. If you love good sports, then check out our radio fam when you get a chance. Right now, Jimmy's going to let everybody know who's having a birthday.
My yes, birthday! Sir. Yay!
Let's get busy. Let's just jump right into it. The birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. That's located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. When you go to Days of Beauty, make sure you ask for Lisa. And some of you young ladies, I've been seeing y'all out on the streets, and y'all need to go see Lisa. That's all I'm going to say. With that being said, let's jump right into the birthdays. The first birthday is one Timothy Theodore, a.k.a. Tim Duncan, who turns 36.
It's my birthday!
Dev, I'm going to start with you. When I say the name Tim Duncan, Dev, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
The big fundamentals. Tim Duncan, 36, still getting it done. He's not putting up the type of numbers that he used to put up. But, you know, being the nucleus of that team, Spurs are the number one seed again. And, you know, they're poised to try to make another run at another NBA title.
Yeah. Austin, when I say Tim Duncan, what do you think of?
Yo, I think of a guy that's way more funnier than his face looks. Yo, and as of late, yo, he's been coming down the lane boofing on cats. Like, he wants y'all to remember, listen, this is what I used to do.
Yeah, Timmy definitely got game. Let me ask you, Brandon, what's the first thing that comes to mind if I say Tim Duncan?
Man, arguably the best power forward to ever play basketball, in my opinion. I mean, it's nothing that from the power forward position that he can't do. Back to the basket, face up, hit the jump shot, put it on the floor, pass, defense. I mean, he's just been a great player in this league from day one. And I also remember how him and Randolph Childress, you know what I mean, played at Wake Forest.
Oh, yeah, back in college, yeah.
Yeah, they did some damage in the ACC.
Definitely. PJ, when I say Tim Duncan, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Fundamentally ridiculous for a man of his size. I also think of the game of poker, stoic, emotionless, calm, cool, and collected. Never let the moment get too big for him. That's
okay.
Tim Duncan.
Let me ask you guys a question. before we move off Tim Duncan, where do you think he ranks in terms of power? Is he by far like the best power forward, or you know, where would you put him at? I'm gonna go backwards. PJ, what do you say?
Sheesh. I'm gonna say to me he probably is.
I got a Barkley.
I'm gonna go with man. I'm gonna go with see Barkley. Barkley is right on my heels
because Chuck
is my favorite dude. Yeah, Chuck is my favorite, like one of my favorite dudes ever. So it's hard, but I mean, looking at what Tim has accomplished in terms of championships and the part that he played on those teams and just being that fundamentally sound and dominant as a power forward, I'm gonna have to say him. As far as what I've seen, I'm gonna go with the best power forward I've seen.
Brandon, is he the best? Like, where'd you rank him, one or two?
I mean, he's right there. I mean, Charles Barkley's my favorite player of all time. And you guys, anybody that know me, like, when I was growing up, that's who I tried to play like. And that's, I mean, what they used to call me growing up, playing, because I wanted to play just like him. But as great as Barkley was, Tim Duncan, because of his, I mean, defensively, it might be a slight edge better than Charles Barkley. Like, Barkley was a point guard. He played guard, and then, you know, eventually he became a forward in his high school career and then in college. And Barkley was able to get the ball off the rim and take it coast to coast because he had those dark skills. But, I mean, it's tough, but, like, I would put them, you know, right there next to each other. And as much as I hate Karl Malone, I hate him. I think
before we even get to Austin, I think those three are probably the only three that can be mentioned. They're like the big three in terms of like power forward, Malone, Barkley, and, you know, Duncan. Austin, let me ask you. And see, this is funny asking everybody because we all grew up watching Chuck in Philly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a bunch of Barkley fans.
That's the problem. I mean, we all, almost all of us, have a bias towards Chuck. And I think that you can have a player that you're partial to or as a favorite, but still acknowledge that others are better than him. Like, you know, Sam Cassell is in my top five, but he ain't no one's greatest list. I just root for everybody other.
Top five.
What do you say,
Jeff?
Same thing as everybody else?
Man, I'm saying basically the same. It's close for me. Like what Brandon said, the defense is probably what puts it over the top. But I do think out of sight, out of mind, because I think a lot of people have forgotten the kind of player Charles Barkley was, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, you know, it's because
his
personality,
time,
even as like a media personality, people like laugh at Chuck or whatever, but they forget just how good of a player he was in his
career. Yo, y'all must have forgot.
That dude. Yeah.
I don't classify Barkley as a power forward, though, either. I think of him just as a forward because of his skill level and what he used to do.
I think he's a power forward.
He used his body.
He used that body.
Yeah, Barkley was 6'4" and a half, though.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds ridiculous to say there would be a power forward starting one of the top 50 players, one of the, like, just, like we saying, maybe the second
one
of the
best rebounders.
Power forward. Yeah, best rebounders. Yo, that's
so crazy. KG don't get no nods. KG don't get no nods for top three?
I don't know if he knocks any of those three out, but he would be on the
main.
He might be like four.
You can make an argument for him or against him.
I'm biased, so my opinion doesn't count because I don't acknowledge that Karl Malone is alive or exists because he wears cowboy hat and he's black racist, so I don't mess with him.
Well, y'all
anyway, man, let's move on.
This
is
the longest.
That was like BJ Armstrong's
birthday.
Yeah, but that was Tim Duncan. Duncan is that dude. He deserves to get a little bit of time on our birthday segment. Let's move on. This next one should be fast. I don't like this ball. But what do you guys think about Francis, a.k.a. Joe Buck? Austin, when I say Joe Buck, what do you think of?
My birthday, yay!
I think of a curse word that rhymes with Buck, but, I mean, I like dude. He cool. Pause.
Yeah, all right. No doubt. PJ, Joe Buck.
Riding off his daddy's coattails.
Ooh, okay. Dev, what's your opinion of Joe Buck?
Joe Buck, good dude. I think of him more in baseball, you know, than football. But when you think of Joe Buck, I always think, like, dude got a big-ass head. That's all I think of. Like, literally, not, like, figuratively. Like, dude got a big-ass head.
Yo, dude hates from the Phillies, man. Hey, yo, Brandon, when I think Joe Buck, what do you think of when you play Joe Buck?
Man, Bull wouldn't be in his business if it wasn't for his father, because That's all I can say about
that's it.
But, I mean, that's the bottom line. He was grandfathered into this business. Like,
damn.
I mean,
that's crazy, though, because you know what the funny thing is? That goes to show, like, just how great his father was. Because his father was, like, pretty good at what he did. You know what I'm saying? So
his father's, yeah. Like, all-timer. Like, his father's a
like
legend.
Legendary. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was hard for him to fill them shoes anyway.
Jack Buck.
Yeah, Jack Buck was that dude. Anyway, it ain't even Jack Buck's birthday. It's Joe Buck, so he turns 43. But the next birthday is one William Percy, a.k.a. Bill Winnington. Bill Winnington turns 49. Let's start with you, PJ. PJ, when I say Bill Winnington, what do you think of?
He was on the sliding board behind Pippen and Jordan, so he slid up in there and got a couple rings. And he was a sack of potatoes that like anybody on that, any center that they put in there, they could put Paul Johnson in there. At my height and my abilities, and I probably would have been as good a center as him on that team.
You got to hit the baseline 15 footer though. Like
Bill had that J work.
Bill had that J work.
He did. That's a joke. The guy he was on the court.
Potatoes.
When I think of Bill Winnington, I think of the genius of the triangle offense because he showed that you don't need a dominant big man. You know, if you play within the system, you can win. Austin, when I say Bill Winnington to you, what do you think of?
I think of Michael Jordan.
Luke Longley. Brandon, hey. Bill Winnington, what's your thoughts on Bill Winnington?
I think about when he played at St. John's with Mullen and Mark Jackson.
Those were probably his glory years.
He took it back to the crib.
Cool. Yeah, like, what do you think about that? Like college teams used to be gangster back then. Like, yo, you talk about like the amount of pro players that played together on these collegiate teams. College ball used to be tough back then. Anyway,
yeah, like it was good. Like it was great basketball back then. And then they all, you know, what I mean, because they stayed longer and they all, like, it was some good. They were good athletically, but they were just as much.
Right.
You know, I mean, fundamental players. Like they all could shoot. Like, you know what I mean,
yeah.
To play, like, you couldn't play if you couldn't shoot the ball, like, back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
these days, that's, like, the fourth requirement.
Listen, we're not worried about whether you can shoot. How high can you jump, little black boy? How high can you jump?
How much chicken have you eaten?
Bill Winnington played 10, 11, 12 seasons. He started out in Dallas and then lasted and played in, what, 3 championship teams?
Yeah.
He had a successful career. When you look at it that way, like a lot of these cats played 10, 12 years. And, you know, it's funny because they're not as remembered as some guys that have, like, their quick careers, like a Harold Miner, so to speak. Quick flashes and are gone. Bill Winnington straight got a nice little pension. Bill Winnington put up over a decade worth of basketball, man.
And he got some rings to sell if he ever went broke.
No doubt. Those are the kind of guys that don't go broke, though. Those are guys that don't go broke. But, Doug, when
he's probably an investment banker right now.
People know Corleone Young more than they know Bill Winnington. Right?
Doug, what's your thoughts on Bill Winnington?
Nothing. You can go ahead and move on to Natron Bomb.
No doubt. The last birthday we got is Natron Jermaine Means, a.k.a. Natron Means Business. He turns 40. Damn, I remember Natron Means. I'm going to start with you, Brandon, this time. When I say Natron Means, what do you think of?
Me?
Yeah.
And it's crazy, and I'm crazy like this. I remember, like, had it in, like, 1992. It was, like, a Saturday night. I was watching this, like, when ESPN2 first came out. And I was watching North Carolina play San Diego State. And at the time, San Diego State had Falk, and North Carolina had this big-ass running back. Boy, was, you know what I mean, big as hell. And at the time, I was playing fullback in Little League. So I see, I mean, Natron Means get the ball. He went off, he had like 190 yards. Had more yards than Falk that night at the time. And that's from that time, he motivated me to make the switch from being a blocking back to a running back.
Getting a rock.
Just trust me. Like,
hold on. You can't make the practice. Coach is like, hold on, what you doing?
And Brandon is a college junkie because he got all his memories from these dudes stem all the way back to their college years.
Yo, hey, PK, what comes to mind for you when I say Natron Means?
When I think of him, I think of Natron Means, Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare. I lump them big, burly, trucking, don't get in their way, they'll stomp on your sternum type running backs. And he was just one of them dudes, man.
Yeah, old Barry Foster type running type dudes. You know, they all remind me of Tecmo Bowl and Super Nintendo football. Anyway, Austin.
John Riggins.
When I think
of Natron Means business, big back, a light that shines twice as bright shines half as long. The reason I say that, when he was traded from San Diego to the Jaguars, yo, he got busy in the playoffs for them and put up like 250 yards in two games after sitting the bench for the whole season. He the reason they did well that year in 96.
I think. 96, I think they went to the conference championship that year.
Yeah,
he
got it.
They wasn't close
to. Y'all said everything that needs to be said. I loved his nickname, the Natron Bomb. When he came through the hole, that's probably what it felt like to linebackers. You know, but it was short-lived. I guess when you run like that, your career is not going to be too long.
I mean, you don't have backs like that no more. That's because they throw the ball 78 times a game now.
And if they think they're running a back a little too much, they just franchise him. You're never going to get another contract.
most of those guys that's his size and that's as athletic as he was to be that big, all of them now is like playing linebacker or, you know, they're trying to turn him into a rush end or something like that.
Fast-ass linebacker.
Right.
That's true, too. Anyway, man, those are the days brought to you by Days of Beauty. Dev, tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind.
All right, while you were on the grind, it's brought to you by Philly Auto Design. Check out their website, phillyautodesign.com, for the hottest selection of rims and tires on the Internet. First story, fellas. I know y'all probably heard about this one. Deion Sanders, he filed charges against his soon-to-be ex-wife because she and another party came up into his house, and he claims that they tried to jump him. But after this, Deion tweeted pics of he and his kids filling out a police report. What do y'all think about this whole story?
Yo, they must have seen my man Deion as a fairy and thought he was soft.
I don't agree with tweeting out the pics with the kids.
Yeah,
like I don't understand that part of it either. And I saw it on Twitter, and I'm like, yo, boy, it's tripping. I heard that his wife was upset, or his ex-wife, whatever you want to call her at this point.
Soon to be.
Was upset because he was seen out with Tracy Edmonds, which is hilarious
she came.
Too. Because Tracy, yo, it's like 10 chicks and 10 celebrity chicks that everybody just passed around. But anyway, you know, so she went in the crib and like, you know, went off on him or whatever. Start beating the trash out of him. And
I don't, you know, a lot of people was calling him all kinds of punks because he was filling out police reports and everything. I disagree with that because as much money as she's asking for, any little thing that happens like this probably favors him once they, you know, go to court to finalize their divorce. But I'm with y'all where I don't think he should have been tweeting out pictures of him and his kids filing police reports against their mother, you know what I'm saying?
And like, I read a lot of stories on this. They're saying the whole thing stems from Deion having like an ironclad prenuptial agreement. That's why she's been tripping. And, she, you know, she basically doesn't look like the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he got everything lined up right. Like, yo, this is what you're getting. She's going to call the incident and try and get that number up.
Kids out of it. I mean, because he was saying, you know, she did this in front of my kids, so but still keep the kids out of it.
I think he's smart.
He's
to be smart. Like the same people that are saying that he's the cow for filling out police report. What if they had said that he would have jumped off and beat her ass?
They'd have been calling him Chris Brown and.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So he's playing it smart. He's doing what he's supposed to be. He's being smart about it. But tweeting the pick out—that's another thing, though. Like, what are you doing?
She know that he can barely walk. That's why she tried to go upside his head. Because he can't really fight back. And, you know, she all into that exercise stuff, Pilar or Palara or whatever her name is. She one of the fitness chicks.
You smashed
And she brought a female goon with her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
caught a Khloe Kardashian with her.
Yo, she came up in the crib with Madea, tried to beat the boy.
So she brought Lamar's refrigerator with. Never mind.
He's telling you she's good people, man. Leave Khloe alone.
he know damn well he smashed. Anyway, my fault. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, but y'all seen yesterday they announced the winner of the Madden cover. So Calvin Johnson beat out Cam Newton with 52% of the votes. Like 651,000 people voted. The game comes out August 28th. EA Sports cut that check. What did y'all think? Who did y'all think was going to win? Because these days it seems like people vote the opposite of what they want. Because they don't,
yeah,
you know, everybody believes in the Madden curse, so they kind of don't want their guy to get hurt. So, because
it must have been a lot of
Green Bay really wanted to put themselves behind it, there's no way Aaron Rodgers doesn't get the cover last year and this year, you know, if his name is in
the hold on, though. I mean, you got to think that's very close as well, though. 52 to 48, like, that's very, very close. And the funny thing is, I could have cared less until I saw Cam Newton campaigning for it, which I found hilarious. You know, so I kind of wanted him to win just because of that video.
I like the fact that he ain't scared, because a lot of athletes believe in that curse.
I don't think what they paying for the Madden cover. I don't think none of them athletes care about that curse.
Oh, good point.
I don't know the exact I don't know exactly what it is, but I hear it's pretty nice. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's why those dudes, you know, they campaign for it. Like, I want this. Like, I ain't trying to hear about that.
Yeah,
it's a nice check involved with that.
Yeah, Shady McCoy wanted that thing bad, and everybody in Philly voted for everybody else except for him because they ain't want to see him
in
the season.
Yeah, see, that's crazy. You know, Shady, you know, running backs, like we talked about earlier, like, look, man, they only try and give us one contract these days and a franchise. So,
exactly.
You know, running backs, they want that cover bad.
Yeah, no
I mean, but that shows you why the dude who got it last year got it. Because everybody was voting for, you know, somebody that they didn't care about to get on it. Because there's no way.
And what happened to his game last year as opposed to the year before?
He missed some time being injured.
Exactly.
Had an overall bad season.
He had an overall bad year on and off the field. So it's like, it's one thing, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You look at all these cats after being on the cover. It's not nice.
It all started with Eddie George, man. Back in, like, 1901.
Marshall Faulk, Mike Vick. Like, there's so many names you could say that.
Donovan McTrash.
Culpepper was right out the league after being on the cover.
All right, so I know some of you fellas going to pick that up on August 28th. So what platform y'all going to be on? Let the people know.
PS3. I get on both. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Right. We give y'all handles out later so y'all can take all comers. Maybe we start a War Room Sports Madden League
or something.
Like
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. All right, so this next little story is about Brad's homie, B. Austin, your homie Derek Fisher. They seem to have lost confidence in him because of an 8-0 vote. The NBA Players Association executive board, they've asked him to tender his resignation. Derek Fisher has in turn refused to do so, but they said they've lost confidence in his leadership. First, what's this all about? You know, why all of a sudden have they lost confidence in his leadership? What do y'all think it has anything to do with the lockout situation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know that I heard Kobe speak on it, and he said that Billy Hunter and Derek Fisher were like beefing. So it was like it was basically politics involved. So Billy Hunter's in the joint, like, all right, I'm gonna get you out of here, then, like, you know.
Damn.
And
that shows you who has the power, though.
If it's
a unanimous vote, then Billy Hunter.
And it's also a disconnect in terms of like Derek Fisher. And the guy he's representing, basically. Because Derek Fisher is from, like, a different time. And I know that sounds crazy because he's not from, like, 82 or whatever, but these young guys are just cut from a different cloth from guys like Derek Fisher or even the Kobe or even the KG. Like, these young guys are just different. It's a different time.
Yeah, but Jimmy, to what you're saying, remember when the lockout was going on, there were a couple of deals that the league put up there, and the players actually, they were cool with taking the you know, some of those deals. Remember they even said there was a rumor that Steve Blake was starting a player, a league-wide vote to see if they would take that deal, but they said Fisher kept kind of taking the hard line, and he was trying to get a better deal for him, but it was kind of against their wishes. And
you know what's
really
funny?
In the end, they ended up with a worse deal than they were offered initially.
You know,
so they might be a little upset with him about that.
That's a great point, Dev. And you know what's really funny? And you know me, I will never, ever typically end up on the side of Derek Fisher because I don't believe that he deserves. Never mind. I ain't going to even get into all that. But I will say this. The difference in generation is a very – interesting point, Jimmy, because if you think about his age and part of what may have influenced his life, I think the generation that's in the league now isn't familiar with hard times or struggling or being willing to endure something that is potentially uncomfortable to get a positive result for the collective. So these guys are looking at the fact that, yo, my checks are stopping. I want to play ball. I don't really understand the issues and what's being negotiated on my behalf. So I'm ready to take a deal. So I don't think
also,
that
you know how you don't think Fisher's earned the right. I guarantee. I don't know if he's going to be it, but I guarantee you he's going to be in the running to be the next president.
No. I think he
no.
I'm talking about
Mo Evans, Maurice Evans.
Oh.
And he can barely get on the court for the Washington Wizards, but he might end up being your next Players Association president.
That's what keeps them type of dudes in the – that's a part of what keeps them type of dudes in the league.
Well, we got some breaking news, some breaking draft news before we move on to this last two stories. The Cleveland Browns traded up to the 3rd overall pick. In return, the Vikings are going to get – a 4th, 5th, and a 7th round pick.
Cleveland
has their eye on somebody at number 3.
They're saying going to draft Trent Richardson.
You know who they're going to draft, Dev? They're going to draft the dude from the Fantastic Four, the one that's made out of concrete, that light-skinned brick-looking dude. Because I swear that's Trent Richardson, because that brick character that's just like all light brick.
Matter of fact, we're talking to Trent Richardson right now.
Some of his highlights are ridiculous. I was just watching like a clip, like his highlight clip. I'm like, yo, come on, this some of his highlights.
I seen a workout. I seen this boy working out. He looked like he on some more other stuff, cuz. I'm like, yo, dude ain't got no neck. His arms are so big, it look like he got T-Rexes. And he don't. But his arms so big. Anyway.
Yo, let's get to these last two real quick, and then we can get into some hot topics. But the Capitals beat the Bruins, the Boston Bruins, last night in the Game 7 in Boston. And the winning goal was scored by Joel Ward. He's a 31-year-old, fourth-year NHL player from Canada, but he's black. So after this game-winning goal, a lot of Boston fans took to Twitter, and it got real racist. Like, they kept saying, like, they let this N-word beat us, and N-word this, N-word that. There was a lot of that going on Twitter last night because this dude, you know, hit the series-winning goal. Any thoughts on that? Or is it same old bean town?
Well, I mean, Boston is the most racist city in America. I mean, I'd rather go to South Dakota than Boston.
That's what I was asking. Same old bean town, man. A lot of people don't realize that just because Boston is up north. But what B just said is totally true, man. It's crazy up in Boston sometimes, man.
Yeah. But they ain't even like Dennis Johnson, man, and they was winning championships.
It comes from the difference between northern racism and southern racism. At least down south, I know my place. I know that, you know, you hate me, I hate you. But up north, where there was no slavery and blacks and whites had to compete for the same jobs, it get real ugly, and that's one of the hubs of it. But that's another story for another time. I think it's sad and just indicative of what America still is today.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what happened to Wayne Simmons from the Flyers in the preseason when they played up in Ontario against the Red Wings, and he was going for a penalty shot, and somebody threw a banana peel on the ice.
Yeah,
damn, it's crazy. But it's some of the tweets last night were crazy.
Yeah.
Amy, actually, I'm gonna send you that link so you can put it on our Tumblr.
Yeah, exactly. Remember part of that Magic and Bird book when some of the Celtics players were saying, like, yo, Cats was trying to get traded because it was so bad up in Boston.
Yeah.
Like, yo, a couple of them had to walk around with
I wonder how Paul Pierce has made it all these years.
Winning?
That's a good question.
PJ, yeah. What was you about to say?
No, I was just saying, when I was looking at those tweets, because it was like, I can't believe these people, like, on Twitter with their, like, icon photos right next to him, just unabashedly using the N-word like they was calling him a man. Like, they're using the N-word like it wasn't nothing wrong with it.
One person was like, you know, hockey, this is a white man sport. How they going to let that N-word, you know, beat us? Like, damn.
Yeah,
like,
go back and play basketball. One of them told him to go back and play basketball.
Yeah, like,
black N-word. I said, damn.
I was
on
the
train with him,
so,
like,
when the job told him she didn't get the job, Marv was like, damn, you right in my face, you going to send me?
I feel like, you know, it's a shame because as a people, we're not even in a position to take advantage of it because we do things that these folks buy into that make them feel comfortable even saying that or expressing that.
All right, well, we're going to definitely get into that another time. Maybe we can make a big show segment out of that and lead in with some of these incidents. Last thought real quick before PJ tell everybody how to get in contact with us. B-Dawg announced his retirement. Just real quick, just everybody tell me how you feel about that. Like, we've all rooted for a team where he was the leader. Jimmy rooted for two teams where he was the damn leader.
So, I mean, I'll go first. I'll just say in my lifetime, he is the greatest Eagle there is. I mean, got to be either him or Reggie White. And, you know, one of my favorite players. I mean, dude is one of those guys that when I watched him before the game, I just wanted to, like, throw my screen and go suck up on somebody.
Yeah,
he used to talk to the ball in the end zone before the game started.
He used to crawl.
He's going to bounce right for me today. Ball.
You used to crawl out the tunnel doing flips.
I still wear his jersey every Sunday during football season, so I know how I feel about the dude, man.
But he always got it. He was the polar opposite of a McNabb, and I'm not even starting on McNabb, whatever. But I mean, Doc was, it's just so interesting. But Doc he got it so much in terms of the fans. I heard an interview with him yesterday, real quick, on the four letters, because. The next hour after the show, people were calling in like, yo, I was crying just missing him so much. Like, just hear him talk about, yo, I think Reggie White was the best Eagle I've ever seen, but he was my favorite Eagle by far. So, you know.
Cool. Brandon, what's your thoughts on that? We go to Austin last because he's probably crying now.
Ain't no shame in that.
He's I mean, one of the all-timers, definitely should be in the Hall of Fame. He was one of the safeties. He started, like, the transition, like, the change of the way the safeties played because he came in and he was able to play in the box and he was fast enough to cover. And when he was young in his career, he was able to cover receivers and tight ends in the middle of the field man-to-man as well. So,
my question
is,
how do you play that position like he played it for 16 years?
Yeah,
that's a lot of car crashes
and
a lot of years.
Man. He wasn't the biggest guy. Like, he was only 200 pounds. I mean, he was well
put
small. Together.
Adamantium, Dez.
Yeah, I mean, he went out there and he put it on the line every Sunday.
Every
time. And he understood the city and he understood the pain that we all had growing up here as fans and not winning the Super Bowl, being disappointed. And he embraced it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Austin. Oh. You can finish it off.
Yo, man. want to say nothing that could be held against me on tape and be played and said that I live another lifestyle, so I'm just going to say the same thing that I said about my dad when he passed. It was an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure. Time well spent.
It ain't no doggone tomorrow, fella. What are you going to bring to the doggone church? Are you going to bust somebody in their mouth? Are you going to do your doggone job? Are you going to pray from your doggone ship? Are you going to pray from your heart and see everything you doggone got? Because I'm a do that. And I'm going to see you everything I doggone got on every place. I need to get today.
Hey, PJ, man, you got it. Doggone it.
Let me get some tissues real quick. Give me a couple tissues. Might be crocodiles
off my
feet.
You got a
dog on it. here go the doggone media blast so I can let y'all know how y'all can get in touch with us, dog on it. It's like, no. You guys, y'all can get in touch with us. You know what to do. Go to our website, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Fair and Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room. To get into the chat room, you just got to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can always sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. Call in and speak to the host, dial the Digital Extreme Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk, because pressing 1 is just like raising your hand. So if you raise your hand, there's a very, very good chance that we might call on you.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir. I got up from here. Let's move on, you know, so we can get into this draft in a minute. I'm going to jump into some hot sports topics. But before I do, I want to let you know that Hot Topics is brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Remember, that's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. If you use our link, you get a free audiobook to try it out. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done. And there are a lot of great sports books on there. I listen to the Shaq book, the Magic and Bird book. But at any rate, go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Now, some hot topics I want to jump into. I'm not going to say anything, but in the UFC, Jones
shout
and
shout out to Bones Jones.
Yeah, Bones Jones elbowed him and, you know, pretty much just elbowed him and elbowed him. So we weren't really going to go into that because he beat his ass. But let's jump into the NBA. NBA Players of the Week. LeBron James again. I don't know how many LeBron has won this year, but his name is there like every other week. And also Al Jefferson. Dev, you got that stat?
Yeah, he's probably won like 200 of these in his career. Yeah, LeBron, he helped Miami go 4-1 last week. He averaged 31 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 5.5 assists. Of course, you know, he had that game against Jersey where he scored 17. He scored his final 17 points in a comeback win. You know, they're going to make a big deal out of it because the criticism he gets about his late-game exploits. Al Jefferson led Utah to a 3-0 week. Jazz ended up getting that playoff spot. He averaged 20 points, 15.3 boards, and recorded 3 double-doubles during the week. So shout-out to LBJ and Al Jefferson.
Yeah, Al Jefferson got
one more of these awards to go. And
yeah,
tonight is the last night
of
the regular
shine.
Season, by the way.
You don't get a lot of shine, but Al Jefferson puts up numbers. He got game.
He got back to the basket game. He got some.
Yeah, and I like that because you don't see that too much anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like a throwback.
He got some Kevin McHale's in him.
He got a sleepy game. Mm-hmm. You sleep on it.
Like at 6'10", play like facing the basket. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yo, matter of fact, 6'10", 7-2. Kathy, 7-2 is like facing a basket. That's crazy.
Dirk.
Anyway, let's talk about this. The New Jersey Nets played their last game in New Jersey after 35 years. I want to know what you guys' thoughts are on the move. And if you had to think real fast on your feet, who would be the top five Nets players of all time? And I'm going to start with you.
Top five or like starting five?
Give me a starting five for the Nets, all-time New Jersey Nets, if you can remember. Give me a starting five. I'm going to start with you, Des.
Top, damn, off the dome. I know PJ
I
would put Kenny.
You
PJ
know
would put
I
Kenny G's in
there. You know who bringing the ball
go,
up on my
I
team.
I can't go G's, though, because Jason Kidd let them do the two finals appearances. So I had to go Jason Kidd. Got to put Derek Coleman up in there at the four.
DC.
I put Drazen Petrovic at the two. Buck Williams, he's a franchise leading scorer and rebounder. At the five spot, I don't know. Damn, who would I put?
Jordan
Williams.
Yankachara.
Who got the three? You said Kerry Kittle?
No, I just have forwards. I got Buck and Coleman.
Come on, man. What about Dr. J?
Doc is not a part of that 35 years, man. He was ABA. The 35 years
they're
celebrating.
Okay, that's true. You're right.
Can't put Doc in there.
I want to anyway.
I don't know. Throw a center out there. Jason Williams.
Yeah,
ooh,
I thought
he had okay. Hey, Brandon, give me your
next
five, Brandon.
I wanted to go to Petrovic, Chris Morris.
Not Chris Morris.
DC. Dang, I don't even.
They had Bernard King, but they only had him for like two good years. He came back
with the way he scored, that didn't even matter. That's like four for most people.
No, but his brother Albert was a more consistent net than he was.
Yeah, I mean, Terry Mills played for him.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yo.
Shaq.
But you know what?
Terry Mills.
It's hard to say. If I ask you about other teams, you had five real fast. But you got to think about these Nets.
Yeah,
hey, PJ, what you thinking about, PJ? I already know PJ going to start the point. Everybody knows Jimmy G.
What are we going to do? We're going to make Jason Kidd a combo guard. We got Kenny G, Jason Kidd. I know Brandon remember when Kenny Anderson played with Brian Oliver and Dennis Scott at Georgia Tech back in, like, 91, man. When they played against
nice.
That's where he left his niceness, though. But anyway.
They got Nas doing the opening.
I see that with RG3. Nas Gear Week, though. But anyway, I got Kenny Anderson, Jason Kidd, and I'm going to bring because I can't even think of a five. So I'm going to bring, like Jimmy said, I'm going to bring Nova in there. I'm going to give you Kerry Kittles. Then I'm going to give you Buck Williams, Drazen Petrovic.
Small.
And then Derek Coleman gonna be the center because
we're pretty much saying all the same people. Let me ask you guys this: who's the best net of all time?
Hold on, man. I didn't give y'all my starting five.
Oh,
Brad
I think
you
pretty
center.
Much agree. All right, go ahead, Austin. Unless you got somebody different, who do you got
Brad
different than his name already?
Yinka Dare, Tate George, Thundiata Gaines, Chris Morris, and Josh Boone. That's my story.
What? Who's the greatest net of all time?
That's a D-League squad. That was a D-League squad one time.
The greatest
who
net?
Was the best net ever?
Yeah.
How many years did Jason Kidd play with
you? I'm about to say, in a short time, that still might have to go to Jason Kidd.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it probably had to be Jason Kidd. Even
by the way,
Shout out to
Lee McConnell, who also writes for our blog. He says that his will be Jason Kidd, Bernard King, Derek Coleman, Kmart, and Buck Williams. Forgot about Kmart.
Yeah, I can't put Bernard in there because 2 years, I can't put him in there for 2 years.
And Lee
then we're just talking about the best players
Michael
to go
Ray
through
Richardson,
there. Yeah, he was definitely a top five player to go through there, but
Michael
I don't
Ray
think
Richardson,
he has that
man.
Much history. With the,
Michael Ray. Michael Ray was
Michael
tough.
Ray. Yeah, yeah. Or four. He was smoked out.
Michael Ray Richardson was at four.
Yeah, Michael Ray Richardson. Leroy said, don't figure it out, Michael Richardson. Yeah, so.
Michael Ray was that tall, and he had that
quill. What do y'all think about them moving to Brooklyn? Do you think it's a good move, you know, on a long term basis for them to make this move?
No.
Well, look, New York is a big enough city. I mean, I know, but it seemed like everybody up there loved their Knicks. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's hard for me to judge, but if they feel like that's where the money is, then I can't knock him, but I know the governor of New Jersey, he kind of went ham on him. Chris
Christie. Did
he? He went
like,
ham on him.
Yeah. Get the hell out of here. I was like,
yeah.
Damn.
He told him good riddance. Like, you know.
Yo,
I mean, I feel
Brent,
like,
what do you
know,
think?
You know, I'm going to take a different approach to this. Everywhere I go in the world, and I've been quite a number of places, I'm talking Europe, Africa,
you see the same
Caribbean. Yeah, every other day we go. And I ask, yo, you're from New York. Where are you from? Brooklyn. Yo, everywhere. Yo, there's no other borough in New York. Everybody's from Brooklyn.
And they all know.
Like the
Stuyvesant's
the loudest one.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. I mean,
Brandon, what do you think long term? Is it a good move?
I mean, if they win, if not, then, I mean, see, they just, they going upon this whole marketing thing. They just feel as though just because Jay-Z is involved, like just because Jay-Z's involved, like he's going to put people in seats. At the end of the day, Jay-Z ain't shooting in the gym. I mean, so.
Wasn't with you in the gym?
Regardless if he and Beyonce on the sideline, like, it's not going to matter. If they don't win games, if they don't put together a team that can win, and if players don't want to come here and play, then it's not even going to matter. Like, it's going to blow up in 15 years.
Like Brandon said, they can put a whole herd of camels up there in that front row, and it ain't going to make no damn bit of difference what they're doing on the hardwood. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure New York being so highly populated, they can probably stand it in that market. I don't know that it's going to have any effect. I don't know that it's going to change the franchise around. I don't know that it's going to make that much of it.
PJ, they'll probably still have their diehards from Jersey. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, a couple of people held up signs on the night like, I'll follow this team anywhere. You'll have that, and then you might have that Laker-Clipper dynamic, you know, before the Clippers were ever good, where Clipper fans just used to be the people who couldn't afford Laker tickets. So, you know, you can afford to go to this place, so you feel like you're more a part of it. So, you know, they might get straggling
but you know
like
what,
that,
though?
But
it's funny.
You know,
that's
a Knicks town, man. I don't get it.
That's a good point, Dev, but how much of that Clippers thing had to do with Chris Paul and Manimal?
No, I'm talking about anybody who was a Clippers fan in the last 20 years. I'm not talking about this year. Yeah, I'm talking about anybody who was in the building wearing red before is because they couldn't afford to get into the building and wear yellow. So
I mean, Brooklyn does support Brooklyn, though. So I think, I don't know. I mean,
they are a very prideful borough, so they might just switch up on the Knicks real quick.
You ain't never lying, man. Hold it down if you die. But I just know that the newness of it will be good. Let's see when the newness wears off, like Brandon said, if they don't get any talent once the newness wears off.
But
anyway,
you know what, though? Jim, I also know a lot of Giants fans who, if the Giants aren't doing well and the Jets are, then they'll slot over there real quiet, and vice
versa.
Got two. So they got two to choose from, basically.
Yeah. I ain't gonna front. We could do that in Philly too if we could. Anyway,
like Jimmy said, we need the Mount Airy Raptors, and we'd be.
That's right. Bring the Raptors in Mount Airy, at least. Like, you know what I mean? Anyway, Stephen A. Smith, he says that Dwight Howard will still demand a trade after this season.
This guy.
Yo, man, what's up with your man Dwight Howard, B?
Hey, let me give you some facts on what Stephen A. was saying, though. He's like, things are starting to escalate to, like, uncomfortable levels, saying that Dwight feels like the organization and the team itself, even his teammates, have turned his back on him. He feels like they're the ones putting out that whole notion that he's quitting on the team and stuff like that. He was upset that when he got injured, they were booking him a flight on AirTran. And he said he didn't feel like a superstar. He felt like you know, they was treating him like a scrub. First of all, he just threw the whole airline under the bus.
Yo.
He wanted to get on that
G5. Crazy.
Yeah,
yo, I fly Air Tran.
He wanted to get on that private G5.
The way he's handled the media this year and everything he's done, has your opinion of Dwight Howard changed at all?
As a man, it kind of has to, you know, because he's doing a whole lot of flip-flopping and he's being real sensitive right now. As much as he put his teammates through and uncomfortable questions they had to answer this year, he's upset with them because he feel like, you know, they're kind of distancing themselves from him. They know you don't want to be here. You went out of your way every week this season to indirectly call us bums. So, like, what is he expecting?
He created a sweepstakes for himself during the season. Like, and he's talking, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to, I want to go here, I like to go here, I like the cheesesteaks here, I like the sodas in this city. Why would you even go through that whole thing like that? Why would you even go through that during the season and expect your teammates to be rumbling with you? Like, rumbling with you through the whole, not literally, but I mean, you know, fighting for you, you know, as you're going through that process. You're like, you know, marketing what you're going to do next to bounce on these guys. I mean, obviously you could be thinking that, but I mean, you put that out there for the media. Something wrong with dude, man. He got a decision issue.
Hey, Brandon, I mean, has your opinion of him changed after this year?
I mean, I just feel as though, now, if I was a GM, I would just went ahead and traded him because, like, his word is worthless. Like, his word is like a used, it's like a used tampon. Like, it's worthless. I mean, like, at this point, like, they should have traded him and got what they could have got for him. Because he's just too wishy-washy. And then, I mean, he impacts the game defensively. He's the best defensive big man in basketball. But honestly, if I had to choose a big man, I would take Bynum before I would take him.
We were having that debate last week.
And I, you know, it's funny because as more and more stuff comes out, I kind of agree with you.
Like, Bynum, you can actually, if Bynum was the guy on the team, you could actually run your offense through Bynum.
Yeah, you could throw him the ball and let him work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let him run the offense. Kind of can't do that with Dwight.
Yeah.
And what I was saying, like, you know, I still give him the number one big man status, but, like, some people act like if you say Bynum or if you bring his name up, they act like you're crazy. And I'm like, it's far from that. It's not like that no more.
Even if you think,
it's not that big of a separation like it was in previous years. I mean,
yeah, that was
Bynum,
my point. Bynum
got the best offensive game of any center in basketball, hands down. And that's just it.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know that...
Is Al Jefferson a center or a four? Paul Millsap is the four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean...
He can play either one.
If Jefferson was, like, on a team ahead of center, they would play him at four, though.
Yeah. He's a natural four. But even that, like, his game, like, he has moves and he's finesse, but Bynum can get finesse and he's much more powerful than Al Jefferson. So I wouldn't even, you know, say Jefferson had the kind of offensive game that he has.
And I think Bynum is a little bit more athletic, too. I mean, not that he's the most athletic, but I think he's a bit more athletic.
Yeah, he's catching them one-handed Shaq hoops.
Than Al Jefferson? Yeah, Al Jefferson got a whole game.
Yeah, he got a skilled, controlled game.
Yeah, he jumped like
too,
a half
I mean.
Inch off the floor.
Yeah.
He's just nice.
So, yeah, that but I want to ask you guys, game. I'm moving on to another question. We want to talk about Ron, a.k.a. Meta. And my man Eric B. got to ask y'all a question real quick.
Yo, what happened to P?
What happened to Peace? Like, what's good with your man Ron, aka Meta World Peace, man?
He's lost.
Oh boy,
he always. It was always gone.
I wouldn't even ride down the street with him. I wouldn't even get in the car that he was driving.
Yo,
was
this
like
is my thing. I'm pretty sure he didn't mean to just straight bow dude in the head and cause all of this damage. But there's a lot of people saying that Harden ran into it. It was unintentional. No, I think Metal World Peace's intentions was to clear out whoever was in his way while he was celebrating. I just don't think he thought it was going to go to that level. He cocked back and hit you with the bow of his life.
Yo, A-Tep, he might have got attempted murder for that on the street. Like, on the street. You might get an attempted murder case on that, man. Like, straight up, attempted manslaughter.
What happened to Pete?
The thing is, like, what's his name stepped in his way, but he did what everybody normally does. Like, he stepped in his way, like, completely impede his progress back up court. He was, you know, like, he was trying to get the inbound pass, and he didn't move out around Artest's way, so he held his ground. But, yo, that's why I text y'all, like, what's wrong with that dude? Like, he has he's the closest thing I've ever seen to Mike Tyson, where that's what I was thinking. Like, he's Mike Tyson, with that. It's so
he can be the nicest person in the world.
Listen, it's like when you watch Mike and you watch Ron, you know how cats try and act crazy. You might get hype in the streets. Ron Artest and Mike Tyson try their damnedest to act sane. They try to act calm. They're trying. It's an act. Yo, them dudes is out of control.
Hold on, real quick. I mean, let me get a couple things in before the draft is getting ready to come on. But from a basketball standpoint, he definitely hurt his team. Now, Kobe was on the radio yesterday he gave a 2-hour interview, and he spoke on a couple things, including like the Ron Artest situation. But he had a couple interesting comments that I'm gonna play real quick for like take about a minute and play real quick. And I want to get you guys' opinion on this. The first thing they asked Kobe was people comparing him to Mike and how his whole motivation is to pass Mike.
And after that, we'll get to Naeem in Baltimore right after that.
Yeah. Here's what Kobe said about the comparisons to Mike.
If you get a 6th ring, then you're tied with Jordan. You get a 7th ring, you pass Jordan. What is that going to feel like, the emotions you're going to have if you tie Jordan and if you one day surpass him?
To be really frank with you, I really do not look at it as that. For the simple fact that, Michael has really taught me a lot. Really taught me a lot. His trainer of his, Tim Grover, he's, passed on to me, and I work with him a great deal, and he's shown me a lot. So, I can't sit there and say, well, I'm trying to catch Jordan at 6. I want to pass Jordan at 6. That's not how I approach that because, most of the things that I've learned, most of the things that I do, I owe to him. And, people don't really understand that. They want to make it a me versus him type of thing, and I just don't feel that way.
How do you
Thank
feel?
Thank you, finally, Max.
You How do you feel, though?
I have a great sense of admiration and respect for the things that I've learned from him, and I feel like I owe it to him, and I owe it to Jerry West, and I owe it to Oscar, and I owe it to Elgin, and I owe it to all the players who have come before me who I've had direct contact with and have passed on a lot of information to me, to carry that torch, to carry that mantle.
Yeah, so all you dudes out there always, trying to make it a beef thing. He ain't even looking at it like that.
Yo, man, it feels good to hear the boy give his dad props, man.
he had a comment on LeBron, too. Before we get to the LeBron comment, let's briefly see what Naeem's calling in from Baltimore. Let's see what Naeem wants to say.
Yeah, because we're going to have to cut and go to this draft in a minute, so let's hurry up.
Yeah, Naeem, what's good, homie?
What up, Naeem?
Hey, man, what's going on? Sorry for checking in. So, I ain't been working hard.
Yeah, we ain't heard from you in a long time.
That long time, man. I'm just getting ready to size my rings up. I'm kind of hurt about the Ron Artest thing because I really, like he said in his interview last night, he was emotional. He had 3 dunks, and the dude got in his way. I don't think it was intentionally. I'm not going to put Ron Artest in the same boat as Mike Tyson. You cannot do that. First of all, a lot of people don't know what Ron Artest does for the neighborhood in New York. He sends 12 or 13 kids to school. He don't even want to advertise. He's not that crazy like everybody. He's silly.
No, but that's what we said. Like, Ron Artest is like the nicest dude in the world.
We are huge Ron Artest fans, Naeem. All of them.
You think that elbow was warranted? Naeem, you think that elbow was warranted since you think he got in his way?
Well, let's. I'm gonna take it back. Let's take it back to basketball when we was growing up. When you cleared out space, you used them bulls. That boy should have been all up in his face like that. He dunked
on back in the day. If you bowl somebody like that, even the person that got hit with the bow, even he got a concussion, he coming after you to like break your neck. Like it's that. Yeah. That there's no more basketball
he
after that bow.
Everybody's
running.
That's how you can tell how bad of a bowl was because the bowl couldn't even get up to do nothing about it.
It wasn't under the basket.
We got to move on real quick. Now, let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts on? I know you're a huge Kobe fan. What do you think about what he said about Mike?
Well, I'm a Lakers fan. Well, I respect what Kobe said about Mike. He is Mike. Okay. You know what I mean? And the thing about it is this. I mean, let's be realistic here. Kobe is a student of the game. Forget his off the court. He's an asshole off the court. We all know this. But on the court, everybody wants Kobe on your team. He's a bad boy.
Absolutely. We give a little bit of a I got a real quick clip about Kobe talking about LeBron. But thanks, Simon, for the call, man. And we appreciate it.
I'll be talking to y'all soon. All right.
Play that clip, and then we'll get into the draft and talk about that whole Saint Thin thing. Matter of fact, we can talk about the same thing during the draft talk. So.
Yeah, we can do that. But it's Kobe on LeBron.
Take yourself out the conversation, Kobe. Who's the best player in the NBA? And second of all, if you had to start a team with yourself, who would you draft?
Take myself out of the equation. Who's the best player in the NBA?
Yep.
LeBron James.
All right. Now, if you had to draft a team, would it be
hell
LeBron?
Hell of a question.
Yeah. Now, do what? If I had to draft what?
If you had to draft a team, who would be the first teammate you had?
If I draft a team, the first teammate that I would have?
Yeah, who would be your first pick?
LeBron James. To play alongside of me, I pick LeBron, no question.
Why?
No question, because he's a pass-first guy, and I'm a gunner, so it goes hand in hand. He's a great passer. One of the best passers I've ever seen, and I can score with the best of them. So.
Yeah. Yo, he just admitted, like, I'm a gunner. He passed first.
Yo, pass me the ball, little
Yo, it's funny because Kobe like is he play? I think it's a Phil Jackson to him or something, man. He play, yo, he be dissing cats when he giving them props.
And he don't know, yo, they don't even know he's dissing them, yo, they don't know.
Yeah, man, but what's your thoughts on them clips, Brandon?
Yo, those comments are epic, yo. I mean, yo, he basically said it, like. I mean, he basically said, I know he's not going to shoot down the stretch, so I want him on my team because I know he's going to give me the ball. That's basically what he said.
But, when LeBron heard that, he probably smiling like, yeah, Cole want me on his team. He don't get it.
I tell you, man, all them years of being with Phil Jackson, man, the dude, he's passive-aggressive. He said, LeBron's the best
front,
fan of the
my, With my pedigree, I'd love to have LeBron on my squad too. But let's get into this draft because the commissioner is at the podium. So real quick, our whole draft segment is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. I'm not even going to say nothing about that. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen, or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
If you do go to Stitcher and you download the app, make sure you use the coupon code THEWARROOM. Because by using that, you will be entered in to win, like, there's like a $1,000 thing going on. So anybody who downloads the app, use the coupon code THEWARROOM, one word.
All right, so the Indianapolis Colts are trying to make it interesting. Not interesting, but they on the phone with Andrew Luck. Like, everybody don't know who's going first.
The quickest pick ever.
Yeah,
did
they
not wait
to make
until
the
10 minutes
instead
to
of
do
making
this.
Us wait? Because there's
yeah,
no reason
exactly.
to make us wait.
Come on, man.
So, Brandon been working all week, man. He did.
Oh my god!
He did like a top 50 prospects. He did a top 5 draft prospect at every position on the field. Then he did a final big board with his top 100 prospects. So, you know, you've been doing the homework. I know you said if you were the coach, you would take RG3 instead of Luck?
Yeah. Me personally, yeah, I would.
What is it that you think? What are Luck's strengths, and what are his weaknesses that would vault RG3 over him, in your opinion?
I mean, Luck comes from a pro system. He was put in a position to succeed a lot with formations because of the personnel that they had. They had a strong running game his whole time there. Very accurate, not the strongest arm compared to Robert Griffin. His arm isn't he don't have the elite arm talent that Griffin has, but, I mean, he's cerebral. I mean, called his own plays, called audibles and all that. But, I mean, I watched games, and I went back and watched him play against USC, and I watched him under duress make bad throws, and it wasn't the first time that he's done this. In the NFL, you don't have to make throws under duress. The pressure at Stanford, they play with a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets, and that squeezes the formation. Like, the defense, it's hard to get a clean blitz at times when you're in a set like that. On the other hand, Baylor played more spread out. I watched Robert Griffin get knocked around. I mean, people had this impression that he's this running quarterback when he's not. He's not a running quarterback at all.
Yeah, he's definitely not a running quarterback.
Him and Michael Vick are two totally different players. Vick completed 53% of his passes in college. Robert Griffin completed 73% of his passes in a passing offense.
73%. Damn, 73.
Well,
was that for his career, or was that for one season?
It got better from each year. His first year, he completed 59%.
Yeah, but that's why I kind of think that a lot of scouts think that Luck is the no-brainer because, you know, he's been on the radar for much longer. And RG3 essentially gave you – he has gotten better – but he's giving you that one great year that has driven him up the draft charts. And I think people are afraid because you saw how late. Well, you had two different cats like that. You had Jamarcus Russell, who right before the draft just shot up the draft charts and he was trash. But then you had Cam Newton, who shot up the draft charts all of a sudden, and you know he had a great rookie year. So,
but even more than Russell and Cam Newton.
He's more of a passer.
Trumps both of them. He had his last two seasons there were after season.
Well, let me ask you a question, Brandon, because I read everything you wrote, and I noticed that, real quick, Andrew Luck was on a flip phone. Where he even buy that at? But anyway,
he didn't get no money from his agent. He didn't get no advantage.
I read everything. Damn!
Oh!
I noticed Andrew
Luck hit.
I noticed that you were high on the offensive tackle out of USC. Matt Khalil, I noticed that you were very high on him based upon the stuff you wrote. In fact, you have him as the number one overall prospect out of this draft, even ahead of Griffin, as well as Luck.
Even ahead of the boy from the Fantastic Four?
He has Matt, the guy out of USC, the offensive tackle. What is it about him that makes you think that he's like just clearing away the number one guy in this old draft class?
Man, he has every outside of the physical size, 6'6", 306 pounds, long arms. I mean, technically sound, physical, great footwork. I mean, excellent in pass protection, technique wise. Great knee bend. Hands, like his punch and pass protection is vicious. I mean, he got big ass hands. His hands is like 11 inches. I mean, his punch is vicious.
Right.
And early in his career, pass rushers were able to bull rush him because he wasn't as strong as far as his base and his legs. But this past season, he's been able to take the bull rush, go ahead and reset, and go ahead and get back in the pass protection. I mean, he's clearly the safest, the cleanest pick. I mean, he's a, one of those left tackles, Joe Thomas, Tony Baselli, Austin. He's one of those type of guys. Jake Long
okay.
is going to come along. You can go ahead and throw him in a left tackle, and you're not going to worry about him. He's going to be able to take out. He's going to go against the Trent Coles, the Jared Allens, and he's going. He has the ability to neutralize those players one on one with no help.
So you think he's going to have an immediate impact?
Wherever he's picked at, he's going to start from day one, just like Joe Thomas did, just like Jake Long. The Sally.
You compare him to some greats.
Jonathan Ogden is
that's the kind of talent that he has.
Yeah.
I think his helmet will fit better than Ogden's though.
Khalil's brother
yeah.
plays in the league. Khalil's brother I think is a center for like Carolina or somebody.
Oh,
his
okay.
brother's
that is his brother.
Pedigree player. They dad was an offensive lineman. Dad played a little football. His brother's is the highest paid center in the league, one of the top two centers between him and Mangold and all the football. So, I mean, this is a pedigree athlete we talking about here. He come from a long line of offensive linemen.
Brandon, I wanted to get back to something and ask you a question about Robert Griffin the III, if you don't mind. Where would you rank the Baylor receivers, or what do you think about the talent that was surrounding him?
Outside of Kendall Wright, all the other guys were pedestrian. I mean,
okay.
pedestrian at best. I mean,
okay.
Kendall Wright, before the season, Kendall Wright wasn't even on the radar as a first-round pick. Last year, the numbers he put up not this past season, but the season before was – with a bunch of just regular guys.
Right.
He came out this year, put up more yards, more touchdowns, less interceptions, higher completion percentage. And, I mean, Kendall Wright developed as well, but he put up these, you know, outstanding numbers with not that great a talent on the offensive side of the ball. Outside of him and Kendall Wright, and the running back, Terrence Gannaway, he's probably going to be like a fifth-round pick, maybe. I mean, there's no other top-level talent on that offensive side of the ball.
So between these two top picks, who do you guys think has the best chance to come in and make an immediate impact, like as far as the situations that they're going into? You got one going into Indy, and you got one going into Washington.
I think RG3 is coming to a better team. As all-around teams, I think he may have a better chance to have an impact, an earlier impact, I think.
Exactly,
and
no matter what people think about the Shanahans at this point, you know, he's going to, you know, a better coaching staff at the moment, you know, as far as we know.
Right.
Indy is basically in rebuild mode, so.
They just picked him. They made the pick.
Yeah.
My issue with Robert Griffin, besides his hair and his chick, when you look at how him throwing the ball, and that's why I asked you about his receiving core, Brandon. You look at him throwing the ball. Of the seven top rated QBs in this year's draft, his pass completion percentage above 25 yards is the worst. So when you're looking at him going downfield, he's under 30% completions above 25 yards. And
but one
I'm
of the
thinking
strengths,
about that,
Austin, one of the strengths that all the scouts say is his accuracy on the deep ball.
Yeah, they say he's still the best deep ball in the draft.
Well, and so that's why I asked that question, because you could attribute that to his receivers having the dropsies, his receivers not being able to create separation down the field. You know, it's not just necessarily on him. There has to be some context given to that. But I know that the Redskins, they use more of a traditional old-school offense where they do a lot of rollouts and they buy the receivers a lot of time to work their way open. They do a lot of mid-range and long-range passing, as we saw their previous quarterback or previous black quarterback was unable to turn his back and then turn back around and reacquire the receiver downfield. So that just kind of popped into my mind as a question. Is it RG3 or is it his receiving core?
You know,
if it is him, how will that translate to what the Shanahans do on offense?
Bull got a straight dust mop. My fault, Brandon, to cut you off. But Bull got a straight dust mop on his thumb. Like.
Yeah, he looked like
Bowfinger,
yo.
He looked like Norbit and Bowfinger, like the offspring. Norbit. He looked like Norbit.
Truthfully, like, I think if I had the choice, I would still go Luck first. And for me, it's basically, I don't know, it's a lot of things. I mean, because RG3, he ran the spread. It's a lot of things because I heard the guy that's coaching him now is kind of his quarterback coach for the draft talking on the radio in D.C. the other day, and he was talking about how the things that he needed to improve were basically fundamental things like dropping back since he took a lot of snaps out of the shotgun. You know, he has to learn how to do 3-5-7-step drops, you know, change it up, know when to change it up and stuff like that. They had to tweak his mechanics a little bit. But they said that wasn't too big of, you know, that wasn't that much of a big deal. And just the fact that he didn't play in a pro-style offense. But I think over the last few years, that whole notion has started to become a little bit overrated. I mean, if a quarterback's good, he can learn. So
yeah,
I think he will be good. Go ahead.
When the spread first initially, like, came out, like, when it started becoming big maybe 10, 12 years ago, like, it started, you know, in Hawaii and, you know, with the SMUs when June Jones went there. It was a lot of bubble screens and, you know, underneath stuff. Nowadays, if you watch the quarterbacks that's coming out of the spread now, and at the end of the day, what do the Patriots run? The Patriots run a spread offense. Nowadays, it's not just these little dump passes and stuff like, you know, how Spurrier had when he was at Florida. I mean, you look at the highlights now, they're running pro-style, you know, routes and combination routes and stuff like that. So he's just throwing the ball down the field and making throws in the middle of the field in the mid-range. It's not, you know, that the spread that everybody's thinking it is.
Right.
Yeah, yo, now Randy's in our chat room. He brought up a point. I didn't even hear this. He said that Andrew Luck can't report until he graduates. The Pac-10 says that he can't actually report to camp until he graduates.
Yeah, because Stanford is on a different what are they on?
They on that,
quarters
like, they on that
like
Drexel.
That?
I think they got trimesters like Drexel.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Similar to, like, with the co-ops built into your, like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, they said he's been trying to work it out with, like, this teacher.
They
can give him that last grade that he needs, but
petition.
He has Stanford, so they like no days.
He said, we got Silicon Valley that we're sending up out of this school. We got the next Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter coming out of here.
We don't care about your quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yo, look at the boy's socks, man. Oh, he got Redskin socks on.
He got on Redskin. See, this is the thing here, like, you know, I would usually be rooting for this dude, but since he's going to the Redskins, the fact that I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, the biggest fact that I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan who lives in Redskin country, I'm going to have to root for this man's life to be a failure. So
you're
going to
be sharing PCL tomorrow.
You're going to get a lot of it down there. Y'all going to get a lot of it down there.
I don't want to be injured.
I think you're going to hear a lot.
My Redskin fan, they get crazy.
What's crazy is about, I remember watching the draft like in years past, and this is all the drafts, NBA, NFL, and these dudes had horrible suits. The sartorial game was horrible. Now, it's like, yo, they must be getting money ahead of time. Their agents is hooking them up because these dudes are suited and booted. Cats got their Paul Mary on out there, man. Like,
they got their Joseph Paul Marys on.
I can't even diss these cats. Some of these cats come out there, I'm like, yo, what happened? Remember when Karl Malone came out for the draft?
Yeah.
Like, yo, remember Barkley came out with a burgundy, like, Barkley got like a burgundy suit from like Kohl's on and whatnot. Like,
yeah, you can tell these dude suits look tailored too, like off the rack suits and tailored.
That's
suits
what I'm saying. These
different. These Jokic Jones
are
cut the cuffs. The cuffs come right to the edge of the wrist, man. I'm like, these dudes is all Diesel Smith dudes. So you know they can't just wear suits off the rack like that. None of them got real human necks. They got
the agents
must
be hooking them up. They must be getting money from the agents or something because these dudes be killing it out there. But anyway.
Right, so we got Cleveland on the clock because remember they earlier, they traded up to the number three. And everybody here, we're in agreement. They trying to get Trent Richardson.
Yeah, and actually,
I mean,
Brandon,
yeah,
you had him as number two overall. You had him number two overall.
Yeah.
There's the announcement right here.
They're coming up quick.
People know what they want.
Trent
Richardson. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, he had
to,
a daughter. Yo, boy had a daughter in high school. I forgot. Because I'm like, I was watching the thing on
with
him.
With who? Jimmy Super.
Must be a snow bunny or agent or something.
Yeah, because she looked like Kimora Lee Simmons right there. These little girls look like little Kimora Lee Simmons.
Hey, one thing I can say, Brandon, I give you respect for this because you didn't take the easy way out by having Luck in RG3 as your top two picks. You have,
he wasn't doing like a mock. He was just doing top prospects.
No. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like everybody else, when you look at their top prospects, everybody was putting RG3 and Luck 1 and 2. But you actually have Trent Richardson. Ready to
head
both of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's the quarterback position is the hardest, like it's the hardest position to evaluate, and it can go either way. You can have all the physical tools in the world. Rick Meyer had all the physical tools, had a great first season, was the rookie of the year, and then once he started getting his head knocked around, he didn't want to stay in the pocket and throw the ball. Ryan Leaf had every physical tool. Better arms than Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Put up better numbers with a weak-ass team, Washington State. Put up better numbers. When he got NFL, he was mentally unstable.
Yeah, a lot of mental midgets, man.
Yeah, look at
that. Don't evaluate that.
You saw the UTEP two-step he put on that ball, Jim?
Yeah,
oh, how's that? Hey, Brad. Hey, Brad. What's Trent like in the 40? Just out of curiosity, like, is he like a 4.4 guy?
Like
4.5?
It's like a 4.52, 4.53.
Okay.
But, I mean, he plays faster on the field. A lot of guys can run track fast, but when they get out there and get the pass on, they're not fast in the game.
They're not quick. In fact, yeah. They're like Shady McCoy. Like, Shady is a quick dude. He's not a speedster, but Shady McCoy is quick. Like, his moves are quick.
Shady McCoy, I don't think Shady ran a blazing 40, but when he's out there on the field, it's a football speed. It's game speed. Like, the guy Stephen Hill from Georgia Tech, nobody even paid this guy any mind. Played at Georgia Tech. They ran an option. All he did was after they ran the ball 20 times in a row, they play fake, and they threw it to him deep. All of a sudden, he showed at the combine and run a 4-3 something. Now, all of a sudden, he's a first round. He's supposed to be a first round.
Yeah.
He's not.
They get
the
caught up. They get caught up in that in the 40 times. Trent ran a 4.49 at 5'9", 230 pounds. So that's pretty impressive.
Yo, Roger Goodell was giving out hugs. Like, he go way back with these dudes.
Long hug. Yo, he hugged RG3 like that was his nephew.
Yeah, that was a strong, like, we finally made it out the hood hug.
Like, we good right now, but if you mess up.
You see this face? He didn't look at me. You see this face?
Yeah, but Trent Richardson is a complete running back. A lot of people. I mean, Bam is on TV a lot, but a lot of people are under the assumption that he's just, you know, this bruising runner. One, he caught almost 80 passes in his career out of the backfield at Bama. Great hands. I've seen him against Arkansas, you know, run a wheel route down the field, 20 yards down the field, and catch a touchdown pass in the corner end zone. Besides that, great pass blocker, is willing to stick his face in there and make blocks and pick up the blitz. So he's not just, you know, a two-down guy. He's a, you know, a three-down running back, complete running back.
Good points, Brandon. Good points, because that's the key. That's the difference between a highly touted rookie starting and just getting, you know, some minutes, because you can't leave a rookie in there if he can't pick up the blocks, pick up the blitz, and understand the protections, because it gets you murdered. So that's a good – that bodes well for him.
No, he's coming from a pro system. Like, a lot of people hate Nick Saban because he left Miami, then came back to college. But at the end of the day, look at everywhere Nick Saban is coached. Michigan State, LSU, and at Bama. I talked to Ike Reese. Ike Reese said Nick Saban was the best coach he ever had at any level. And he talking about involving Andy Reid and everywhere. He said he taught him the most football of any coach he's ever had. He including Jim Johnson. I mean, Nick Saban gets these guys ready to play at the next level. Number one, he's getting the best talent, but yeah, you can get the best talent but not coach him up right. But he's coaching these guys up. And, you know, best believe it's going to be four or five guys from Bama that's going to be drafted today in the first round.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to see what my man from Oklahoma State, my man Justin Blackman, is taking, because to me, he's nice. I think he's one of the best receivers in the league, and he ain't even in the league yet.
I mean, I like him. I mean, he's polished. Good route runner.
Not a crazy athlete.
Not elite speed, but he kind of reminds me a little bit. He's smaller, but he kind of reminds me of Anquan Boldin a little bit, because he's physical and he's willing to go inside. And once he gets the ball, he's almost like a running back. Once he gets the ball, he's hard to bring down.
Physical. That's what I respect about the ball. I remember, like, I don't watch nowhere near as much college football as you, but when I watch this young man play, PJ, remember we talked about it last year? We was like, yo, we think T.O. went back to school.
Like, yeah, exactly. I remember that.
Like, so T.O. went back to school because this dude and his ability to go across the middle, he's like fearless, yo. He's fearless.
Yeah.
I will give him this. He has them thinking that quarterback at his school is good. I know a lot of times he just threw that thing up.
Here's the Vikings pick.
The Vikings.
And with this
Matt
pick,
Khalil.
The Minnesota Vikings pick Matt Khalil.
He looks like an offensive lineman, don't
he? He looks like Jeff Saturday, little brother or something.
Yeah,
he really does look like Jeff Saturday.
That beard in the hair.
Like, what are you doing?
He
got that lumberjack look.
Girls,
so, do y'all look at that?
Yeah.
Is that a good pick for Minnesota? Is that, you know, what they need? You know,
a
lot of fans
young
out there, they want the
young quarterback.
The fans like the, you know, they want the sexy pick, the skill position, but shoot.
That's the way you build a team, right there.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely a good pick.
Protect
definitely
that young quarterback.
They got a young quarterback who is talented, who was talented enough to take a 14-year veteran's job. So
they got a high price. Running back that they need to keep healthy.
Need to protect. So,
did you know Pete talked about the draft? He found a way to take a shot at McNutt.
I would say Ponder's pretty good, but I don't think Ponder had anything to do with taking that spot. Dude took his own spot last year.
Took his own life.
Yeah, he took his own spot. Yeah, nothing to do with practice.
Gave it up.
Yeah, he just gave that to him.
I don't want to know.
One of Ponder's better games live, though. They played the Broncos. I was in the Metrodome for that. But, you know, of course, your man Tebow, he worked his magic somehow, and they ended up winning the game.
He worked his magic because Minnesota's cornerbacks is garbage.
This was one of the games where Tebow was actually tossing the ball around the yard. I was like, damn, like, what are they doing out there?
You know, USC, man, had a nice squad. Like,
that's why some people thought they might go Morris Claiborne because of how weak their defensive backfield was last year. But they
USC
went offensive
had a nice
line.
Squad. Yo, if they would have been eligible to play, where do you think they would have finished at this past year, Brandon, if not for, you know, the situation
they
going
enough
through?
Talent, they had enough talent to win it all. Like,
yeah.
They had enough talent to play against Bama or LSU. offensively and defensively. Next year, I'm telling you, they are going to be a problem.
They got a nice squad.
You think that's why Matt Barkley stayed, because he knew that, or he just wasn't ready?
I mean, I don't know why he stayed, because at the end of the day, we wouldn't even be talking. Ryan Tannehill wouldn't even be talked about as being a first round pick.
Because
he
popped
would
up.
Be,
I'm real anxious to get your opinion on Tannehill.
Oh man, I can't wait. Man,
that sounds like I can't wait to see him fail.
it's not even that. Like, I mean, I heard Brian Billick said it. The worst thing you can do is evaluate a player when you're in need for that position, and that's basically what's happening. Just because he's the third quarterback supposedly in this draft doesn't mean he has to go in the first round. When he's not a first round talent, obvious. Like, I sat and watched him blow game after game in the second half. I watched him in the first half put up crazy numbers. Second half.
Yo, y'all see the trade? You see the trade that went down?
Yeah. The Buccaneers made a trade.
Shout out to Willie Garland, because Willie Garland is listening right now.
Yeah, he
wasn't
on the line. I don't see him no more.
Yeah, he probably saw it. He probably hung up because his team just got out of that spot.
Yeah, so I'm guessing Jacksonville, I mean, where are they going to go at? They must want Claiborne. I mean, because at five, I imagine that the Buccaneers are going to take Claiborne. I don't know. I want to see what they're going to do there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jacksonville.
The Buccaneers is probably like, we already got a key to leave. We don't need another one.
So what does Jacksonville need since they just hopped up to five and they're on the clock now? What do you got to think Jacksonville
a whole needs? They need pass rushers. I mean, they need help. They got a lot of holes, defensive backfield, offensive line. I mean, wide receiver. They might take Blackman.
They might go Blackman, yeah. They might go Blackman.
Yeah, they receivers are garbage.
Because if they go Blackman and he's as good as advertised, then that's going to be, you know, that's a better evaluation of Blaine Gabbert they can end up making to see if they need to move on from that or not. So here comes the pick. Here comes the pick now.
Blaine Gabbert shouldn't have been a first-round pick last year.
Yeah, they reached for that.
Man, quarterbacks are so difficult to come by.
They took them.
That's what happened.
Blaine didn't have no help.
So they took Blackman, which is cool. I wonder what Willie Garland thinks about that. Because obviously they knew – you know, to make that trade, they had to tell each other, okay, who do you have in mind? You know, they're not just going to make the trade out of the blue. They're like, I guess it's like, as long as you're not taking our guy, you can have the pick.
Right.
I mean, that's true. But, I mean, that's a pick. It's still a pick in between that pick, though.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm thinking. They might think that the, because who's on the clock? Dallas? I think it may be one of those situations where they've spoken, all three of these teams, or at least two of them, have spoken, or one team has spoken to both of them, and they know what both of these teams want. It is risky
the Cowboys,
when there's a team in the middle of you.
The Cowboys traded up to get
the Cowboys
take
Claiborne, yo.
The Cowboys are probably going to take Claiborne. They're going to take a corner or a safety.
They need to get rid of
Randy's wanted to know. He told me to ask you, do you think that Claiborne will go here to Dallas, or do you think he'll fall further?
I mean, we've seen Terrence Newman play last year. I mean, he's done.
They
got one starting corner. They got Jenkins, and Jenkins has turned out to be, an all right player. He's a starter, but, I mean, I don't think you go up the sixth to draft a safety. I mean, between the two players, Mark Barron and Claiborne, you know, at a higher spot on my board than Mark Barron. That's not saying Mark Barron isn't good, but, I mean, I would imagine if you're moving up, you're willing to trade to come up to six, they must be trying to get Claiborne before the Bucs.
Just start real hard.
Yo, I'm with you, Austin. If you look at them highlights, their quarterback was just throwing it up.
Yeah, he don't care.
Brandon Weeden, I mean, that's one of his weaknesses as a quarterback. He's great when nobody's around him, but when it's people around his feet, when he got to move around, when he's getting hit, he just, you know what I mean, went ahead and threw it up in a spot, and Blackman was just going, you know, going to get the ball.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dad. The commissioner's giving him, I ain't seen you in the wild hugs.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, he might be trying to get, you know, on the good side. I know y'all heard a lot about me, but I'm cool.
Yeah, and then Blackman going to go out tonight, and, I mean, he's going to
be
in the office
tomorrow.
Yeah. Blackman gonna go out tonight and get a lappy. The stripper gonna walk away and sprain an ankle, and he gonna miss four games.
Yo, I know one thing, man. He's definitely a beast, and you know we'll see what happens down in Jacksonville with our distractions in Florida. So,
Antonio reports that Ethan Locke says the Eagles are calling about Syracuse defensive end Chandler Jones.
Hell no.
Are you kidding me? He's not even
serious?
On your top five pass rushers, is he? I didn't see
him. No. Oh, my goodness.
So the Rams have gone farther down the draft because they traded this pickup to the Cowboys. Remember, they originally traded off with the Redskins when the Redskins gave them their whole draft for RG3.
Yo, the Rams are stockpiling picks, man. The Rams are, you know, trying to build the old school way.
Yeah, because they need a lot. That second round pick at 45, I mean, you can get a starter out of that pick.
Yeah, they trying to come out the draft for, like, you know, five starters.
I mean, they need help on the offensive line.
Yeah, as bad as the Rams are, they're gonna come out of the fifth round with a starter.
They need somebody to protect that dude, Bradford, man. He could be good.
Check down Charlie.
Yeah, and for real, at 14, what's the name? Jonathan Martin from Stanford might be around at 14. He should be. There's a chance that Riley Reiff might be there at 14.
Yeah.
The offensive tackle from Iowa.
Yeah, he's not familiar
with his body of work.
Yeah, I know him from reading Brandon's stuff. He's like 6'6", big guy,
6'6",
313. Still
the Cowboys pick. It's a lot.
Emmitt Smith.
Claiborne.
I know Naran is salty right now. He didn't want that to happen.
Cool, we can't guard D-Jack.
Yeah, you guys watching this on the four letters of the NFL Network?
Oh, I'm on
the four.
Yeah.
We watching Gruden.
Yeah, I can't take too much of Mike Mayock, man.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Mike Mayock act like he invented the whole draft evaluation process.
See, this is a shame. This is the part where, you know, trying to be a sports analyst and being a fan at the same time, where it doesn't gel. Because a lot of these dudes, before the draft, you know, you're giving them props, you're bigging them up. You want them to do well, but then if they get drafted by a certain team.
Cowboys got somebody.
now I want this dude's Wonderlic score to mean something. I wanted to mean something. I wanted to have something to do with football.
Man, Mars Claiborne, him and Peterson started together, you know, for a year. And Peterson got all the hype, and Peterson's a better athlete and, you know, was a punt return and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, Mars Claiborne got the better natural corner skills. Peterson
gets
away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peterson gets away with a lot because he's the better athlete and he's bigger.
Right.
It's crazy to consider they played in the same yo. No wonder you win as many games as you do with them two. To me, cornerback is the toughest position in football outside of quarterback.
And me and Austin had this debate, like, we were talking about this past week when we were talking about just how great Deion was. But it's like, yo, for LSU to have had those guys on the same team is kind of unfair.
Peterson was a lookie. Peterson was a looky loo as opposed to Claiborne, who played with pretty decent technique.
I know he didn't stop biting his head like that. He's driving me crazy.
Yeah, now and Peterson is going to be even more dangerous in the NFL once he gets his technique straight. I mean,
if he could be the second coming of Terrell Buckley.
So you think there's any chance of Barron the last 15, or would the Eagles have to make a move to go up and get him?
I mean, if that's who they want, and right now they report saying that the Eagles want Chandler Jones, which is an outrage. I mean, we looking at another Brandon Graham situation. I'm dead serious, because at the end of the day, I watched a lot of Big East football, and see, that's the thing that kills me. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, Chandler Jones went from off the radar, maybe a third round grade. And all of a sudden, Ty McShay, you know, goes back now. All of a sudden, Chandler Jones supposed to be this first round talent when he didn't even produce first rounds. Like when you watched him play, he wasn't a first round talent. I mean, he was just another guy out there. He didn't put up no great numbers. He didn't play that great in the Big East. And the Eagles,
I find it
The Eagles again are trying to outsmart themselves if they decide to pick this guy, man. Because at
another
the end of the
Brandon
day,
Graham.
There's no way you're telling me if Brockers is there, you're going to take Chandler Jones instead of Michael Brockers. There's no way. There's no way in hell.
When they pick Brandon Graham, they passed on what's the ball name for the Giants? They passed on
Pierre Paul.
JPP.
Yeah, Pierre Paul.
They passed on Earl
Thomas. Crazy.
Yo.
That's crazy. But I was saying is it's funny. Did you see when he just saw Deion? It's hilarious when you see the young cornerbacks when they meet Deion, yo, it's like their eyes light up like they just met their God and whatnot.
Yeah.
Deion ain't played in a long time.
So Tampa Bay, they said their pick is in. Since they moved down to 7, who do you think they're going for now? Since obviously they didn't want Claiborne or Black.
The guys that you know what I mean, I would thought that they would take off the board. I mean, right now Cox is still on the board, Mark Barron, Quentin Coples, Rockers, Riley Reiff. I mean,
did you screen that, Jim?
They had some holes as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll screen that.
They had some holes as well. To pick it out, at this point now, the way the draft is going, I mean, that's why I don't do a mock draft, because it don't even make sense.
Yeah,
you know
and
I mean?
This one, I mean, you already had, like, with 4 trades already, so.
That's what I'm saying. Like, honestly, like, in my opinion, it's a waste of time and it don't prove anything.
Right.
Because you can't predict trades. And, according to certain teams, according to what their scheme is, a certain player might be high. Like, a team that run a 3-4, you know, might like the Bull Poe because he can play nose tackle more than they might like Devin Steele from Penn State. And in my opinion, Devin Steele is a better player. Devin Steele had 3-year production at a big-time school in the conference where most of the best offensive linemen are coming from.
Yeah.
You
want to get a call real quick? We got Lee Boy McConnell, one of our bloggers. He said he's pissed right now watching the draft. Let's see what's going on. What's going on?
What it do, fellas?
I know you're
a
Cowboys fan. You don't like that pick?
I don't mind it. You know, Jerry Jones always want to trade down. This guy ain't trade up for what? Claiborne? He gave up for one to give up for 1 and a 2? That's crap. What am I giving my second round picks for? We need players. We ain't worried about playing away from a Super Bowl. We need some picks. You know, we just got that cornerback from Kansas City. We got Jenkins on the other side. We need to build for the future, not right now. We ain't that good.
That's a pretty good point.
But this day and age, and the way the game's played, you need three good corners.
Brandon, yeah, guess what? What are we gonna do second round?
Brandon Carr from Kansas City is the perfect slot guy. Mars Claiborne can play on the outside. And Mike Jenkins can play on the outside.
Look at the New York Giants. If you want to look at the blueprint, you look at the Giants. Giants don't give a crap about no damn cornerbacks. It's about the defensive line. I haven't won a good ball in a long time. Now I got something to write about now. You don't give up. Go up eight spots to give up your number two. I'm not down to his play, but like I said, we need players.
So what you're saying is you're not mad at the pick. You're just mad at
what they had to give up. What we had to give up for him.
Right.
I mean, your point is we could have got a good pick at number 14 and a good pick in the second round. Once again, you know, it seems to amaze me. And that's why, when was the last time we won a playoff game?
Well, they might still be.
And you know what? We've had some of the worst drafts in history in the NFL.
So,
you try
to figure out how Alabama lost any game.
Say that again.
So I said, watch these highlights. I sit back and think, like, how did Alabama lose any game, like, over the last couple of years? They had some players on that team, boy. Over the last couple of years, Alabama had some ballers.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They had a hell of a coach, too.
Yo, can I say this about Barron and from being intimately experienced with the safety position? Yo, he's good at diagnosing what's in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Big hitter. But he can't move his hips to run downfield on those intermediate and deep routes. He's kind of a relic like safety to me.
Well, let me ask you this question. Alabama had this hellacious team, but not everybody on Alabama's team is all that. So somebody's going to get exposed. Because,
exactly.
I mean, everybody's not going to be great. And who's going to be? Is it going to be that cornerback, Kirkpatrick? Is it going to be Brown? Or is it going to be them linebackers? Not everybody good.
Well,
why you saying everybody can't be?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just like when you got a great team. You coming up. Some folks are falsely advertising.
You benefit from systems. Football is about system.
It's
team
true.
That
you
playing.
As a team, you got to hope you ain't get the one guy that is going to get exposed.
The great athletes that combine great athleticism with a decent mind are able to play in multiple schemes. But some dudes are scheme guys like McNabb's favorite receiver down in Tampa Bay. Rondae Barber is going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and no one realizes that if you put him in man-to-man, he would have been out of the league like 10 years ago.
I agree.
It's about scheme. It's about scheme.
You say McNabb got him in the Hall of Fame, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He completed a lot of touchdown passes
to dude.
Yeah,
but
definitely right about that. I want to hear what you got to say about that because you sound like you're a little up in arms about what they just pulled off.
I'm going to put my 2 cents in. My kids are inspiring me right now because they're getting on my nerve right now. So I'm going to write with passion. I'm mad. let me get on this before I hurt these kids, and I appreciate you letting me get on.
Yeah,
right,
no
man.
Doubt.
Thanks for the call, homie.
Well, let me ask you a question. Like, since you brought up McNabb, look at McNabb when he got out of Reed's system. Like, you know, he's a system quarterback.
I don't think he was that good in that system. Never mind.
Speaking of Rondae Barber, a name that comes up in my mind, as far as like being that a player that actually is in college that reminds me of Rondé Barber, because Rondé Barber had a great career, and you know what I mean, when they drafted him, they knew what defense they was running, what they was putting together. They drafted him knowing that he was the perfect fit for that cover two scheme. And
he did it,
Rondé Barber.
You see the guy. You see the guy.
There's your man.
The Dolphins.
Ryan Tannehill.
Man, you talk about a reach. I mean, they reaching more than Bulls in a pickup game at Rucker Park, man.
But this is the thing.
If they were gonna go like this, they could have like waited till next year and made a bunch of reach to get Matt Barkley or something.
No, but you know what it is, a quarterback position. Like, yo, it's sort of like you said earlier. It's such a toss up of this position. You never know.
Hit or miss.
And cats are so thirsty to get a great quarterback that there hasn't been a draft since I've been watching football in the last, like, you know, 30 years or so that there hasn't been someone reach for a quarterback. Every draft is somebody reaching for a quarterback because that's what it is.
Yeah, it's the most pivotal position on the field, on the offense anyway. So it's understandable.
But you don't draft a quarterback at 8 that, you know, doesn't have that much experience playing a position. He couldn't beat out Jerod Johnson to be the starter. They came in together. He couldn't beat Jerod Johnson out, and Jerod Johnson was horrible there. They finally didn't have no other choice but to put him there because Johnson was so bad.
Even in his highlights, you know, I mean, some of his passes, like you throwing across your body, like, you know what I mean, like cool out.
They gonna show all the good stuff, but show the second half of the games where he flat out choked. Like show those highlights.
Even a good highlight, he's making
questionable
throws.
That's what I'm gonna say at McNabb Hall of Fame induction.
I mean, we already know he's a good athlete. We know he can run. He played wide receiver. I mean, he can run. He can catch. We already know that. He caught 130 passes in 20-some-odd games playing wide receiver. Like, we know that part, but can he play quarterback long-term in the NFL? Does he have enough experience? Is he an accurate passer? I mean, is he a project? Do you draft a project at 8 at quarterback, or do you draft a project quarterback in the third round?
Right.
You're taking a chance on a guy at 8 because your owner, you know, wants this guy. Like, I mean, are you serious? If I was the GM and I tweeted yesterday and my owner came to me in this draft and said, we drafted Tannehill at number 8, I would have quit right there. I would have resigned.
You'd have tendered your resignation.
Yeah, I would have put it in right there because my name's not going to be stamped on the envelope of the GM that drafted Tannehill at 8. You drafted Tannehill at 8 with Fletcher Cox sitting right in your lap. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, here's what's funny. I was watching this documentary on that Bloomberg did about the purchase of the Dodgers. And you think, what the hell does this guy do with anything? But before the purchase of the Dodgers, the purchase of the Dolphins was the highest, purchase of a sports team in America. So they had the owner on there, you know, just talking about the $2 billion price, yada, yada, yada. And dude was talking about wanting a quarterback on there. I'm like, yo, this has nothing to do with the documentary. He was talking about wanting a quarterback and wanting to be the winner in Miami, and he's gonna care about the money. He just wants to win at all costs. And when you get your owner that's that involved with the decisions, it never works out well.
Right.
Like, yo, if you're going to own the team, right, you know, just own the team. Let the people you hire, let them do their job.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point because, you know what, MJ, he get a lot of flack because of how garbage the Bobcats are right now. And it seemed like every move they make, everybody blames it on him. But, you know, when owners are making those decisions, like, we always crap on those owners. Like, you know, it doesn't even seem like he meddles like that. Like, people are upset because he was at the hockey game in Chicago the other night instead of at the Bobcats game. Like, okay,
sure,
at the Bobcats game,
Bobcats,
sitting up in their face every night, then we'd have something to say about that. So,
Yeah. I mean, what was he going to shoot the other night?
Someone told me the other day, they said Michael Jordan is the Michael Jordan of bad owners.
Damn. Yeah. But, I mean, he was at the hockey game. Like, what was he going to do when you got B.J. Mullins and D.J. White at the 4 and the 5? Like,
like, what are you going to do by showing up? Like, I got
like what are you
going to
do?
He's an owner anyway. He shouldn't have to be
owner,
there.
Your job is to hire people to, to run a show.
Carolina takes a linebacker from Boston College.
You didn't want to say that name. You didn't want to try.
Luke
you didn't want to catch that one.
I think it's pronounced Kuechly, something like that.
Yeah.
Kuechly.
You had him as the 16th best player.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. Has good instincts. I mean, he's like that play right there. The ball was thrown behind. The ball was thrown behind, but they're going to make it seem like he jumped around.
He was open, actually, yeah.
Like the ball was, and all year, they've been saying, oh, you know, he has these great instincts and coverage and this and that. He's a tackle machine. But watch the ACC play. The majority of tackles that he made were down the field. He hasn't made that many big plays. He's not a jarring hitter. He's not this big time hard hitting player. He literally makes plays in the backfield.
So you think he's going to be like a okay player, but not like a star player? Like he's just gonna, you know, he's going to have a.
I think he's going to be solid. He kind of reminds me of Sean Lee, but Sean Lee is more athletic and, you know, is a more powerful hitter, is more of a playmaker. Kuechly,
yeah.
Remember the boy Rob Morris that played at BYU?
Yeah.
He played middle linebacker for Indianapolis, and he led the NCAA in tackles like 3 years in a row. And, oh, Rob Morris, oh, he's this great guy. Oh, he's Dick Butkus. I mean, the guy played at BYU, and he was slow as molasses. He got to the NFL and was just a regular guy. I mean, Kuechly makes up for his physical deficiencies with smart instincts, you know, angles to the ball. But at the end of the day, when the fullback coming through the hole,
he's not that guy.
That's all I've been saying. He's not that guy. Now, on the other hand, I think he's more of a fit.
Do you think there were better players at that spot? Do you think there were better players they could have took in terms of the Panthers? Because this is the team that's supposed to be on a, you know, up and coming team in terms of trying to build off of last year's success or a little bit of success they had.
I mean, they got decent plays, middle linebacker. So, I mean, I imagine they're going to keep Beeson there and they're going to let Kuechly play either on the weak side or the strong side. Thomas Davis is coming back. Well, Beeson and Davis was out injured last year with ACL. So, I mean, when Beeson and Davis are healthy, they, you know, pretty damn good players. So, I imagine they're going to throw Kuechly on the outside where he's away from the traffic. And, I mean, if you keep blockers off of him, he's going to make some plays, but he also gets – they didn't show when they played against Florida State and he was getting exposed in space. You know, one-on-one, having to make tackles. You know what I mean?
858. Sign off, y'all. But,
definitely, I'm going to sign off. I just want to make a real quick observation. Buffalo started off so high, I didn't realize they ended up so bad last year.
What did I say, though?
Yeah.
All year doing the thing. I didn't believe in Buffalo.
Yeah, being called. Let's keep it in perspective. The ball, their running back went down, and that definitely had
something.
He was
their guy. Yeah.
He's talking
about we'll keep up with the draft on Facebook and Twitter all throughout the weekend. And make sure y'all tune in Saturday to Brandon's show, but Jimmy's going to tell y'all
Thanks for joining us this evening for our NFL draft special. Shout out to everyone who participated through the chat room, Facebook. We got some tweets in there. Special shout out to Brandon Pemberton for hosting with us tonight. Make sure to listen to his show. It's called Sports Track Radio. It's every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at ueradiolive.com. Tune in for us next week, same time, same place. We'll be back at our regular time. you know, we're going to speak on everything going on in the world of sports. We'll be catching up on every big story and talk a little bit about this draft as well. Everybody else, enjoy this weekend and, you know, enjoy the rest of this draft.
Yeah. All right, holla. Too many Indians and no cheese. I pull out the pistol when I smoke peace. I'm the blueprint. I had your clothes looking like they was designed by bullet holes and shoe prints. When I bless a joint, it's like Spock came up in the spot and grabbed the beat by the pressure point. I got the Vulcan touch. I tell my bitch I'ma give up drinking when she give her emotions up. Too many enemies and no killers. Too many that hate snitching but no spoilers. I get stacked. I blam hard with the click clack. That Antarctica rich rap. I spit crack for y'all niggas to get dope. Y'all gotta wait for the transporter to get back. So who's the illest? What you talking about? Die hard like you Bruce Willis when I shoot the killer. Too many hood guys, not enough good guys. The way you say pussy in plural is pussy. I don't be fucking around on that microphone. When I'm kicking them flows on that microphone, the illest nigga is old in that microphone. I put my heart and my soul in that microphone. I put it down on that microphone. Turn up the motherfucking sound on that microphone. But turn it down if you weak on that microphone. Lame niggas shouldn't speak on that microphone. My ultrasound show me holding a microphone. That's on my mama, I was born with a microphone. Groupies love cook it on a microphone. Like James Brown, I'ma die on a microphone. Too many rappers need to leave this mic alone. They on the same bullshit that Mike was on. You're looking at the unseen, listening to the unheard. I kill your career with one word. You're verbally flirting with murder, you got some nerve. I lift your skirt like a young perv. Knock them out. We the mob, homie, who need a job? Plus I'm so fly, tell Derek Fisher I need a lie. Too many in this industry, I need to rob. And if eating niggas made you obese, I'd be the blob. Fuck props, nigga, this a different conquest. Listen to Terry spitting, think it's a pissing contest. I'm in it for power. If cowards try to stop me, they better off using a fishing pole to reel in the Loch Ness. Yeah, I got a barrel that'll spot pussy. If you are what you eat, how come I'm not pussy? You little niggas better come off that microphone. I'm educated, but I'm dumb on that microphone. Don't even bother, you get done on that microphone. I'll turn a father to a son on that microphone. I'm a revolver and a slim on that microphone. And selling stars, I don't need no microphone. Too many critics tend to be silly. Too many frogs go ribbit but never leave Lily. I get it popping like a Neen Millie. Now I'm having a whale of a good time. I'm a free Willy. Y'all lip singers take a pick, click, cheese Millie fans. Who the man? I make quick picks easily. None of you kids speak evenly. You body my verses like a thick bitch leaving me. Too many fantasies and no fame. Too many claiming insanity and they so sane. Less than whack, Scooby Snack, lack flow game rappers. Everything I do be that crack cocaine. Your career is duty rap, slap Joe name in any one of them verses. Say hello to the hearses. Too many monkeys see monkey doers. I slaughter pigs on my tail like Punky Brewster. Niggas know I get it in on that microphone. Y'all don't know where to begin on that microphone. I don't see how y'all can win on that microphone. A pioneer set trends on that microphone. Decide who you want to be on that microphone. I see a bunch of little me's microphone. Too many 20 milligram bikes I'm on. Kill the web, it don't matter what site you own. Say his mouth for he's running off. I tell him bridge or tunnel. Give a fuck, yeah, I come across all these wannabe tough guys. Son and soft gun go off, have them like a good show. Just spun them off. Treat old timers like bags who drop the soap. Mike got Alzheimer's, forgot that they was dope. Too many dogs, not enough barking yet. Too many blueprints, not enough architects. Climbing started yet. Still every bar's a mess. Fuck record sales are who the machine markets best. I'm the last motherfucker that y'all should test. I'm the sharpshooter, you the nigga I target next. Too many smiling like y'all that fly. Reaching, cause we set the bar that high. I don't fuck around that microphone. You lame niggas shouldn't speak on that microphone. You little niggas need to come off that microphone. Niggas know I get it in on that microphone.